In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Telling Christians to give thanks is like telling a healthy tree to bear good fruit. It's just what it does. So Christians naturally give thanks. It's just what we do. Our entire lives are offered to God in one great thanksgiving, from morning until evening, from youth on through adulthood. We always give thanks to our Creator and our Redeemer. Sometimes it's intentional. Other times it spontaneously flows from a heart filled with faith. So as our country prepares to observe a national day of thanksgiving, it's no surprise that we have gathered here to give thanks. Americans are encouraged to give thanks, but you can't write a thank you note without addressing it. Thanks is always directed toward someone. It is good to thank family and friends, the military and first responders, doctors and our leaders, but we dare not stop there, for Scripture says, "Do not put your trust in mortal men who cannot save." All of these individuals will eventually fail us. So let us thank the one who put all of these people into our lives. Let us look past the individuals and see the Creator and the Preserver of our lives, using these individuals for our good. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. So with the psalmist, let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. But we cannot start with the material gifts that God has given. If we start there, then we have missed the point of the story of the 10 lepers. No doubt all 10 lepers were extremely thankful for what Christ had done for them. And since Jesus is quick to point out that one of them was a Samaritan, it would be right and fair to assume that the other 9 were Jews. So the thanks that those 9 offered were to God, the Lord. But their problem was they failed to see where God the Lord was. The Samaritan recognized that God had moved into the flesh and blood of Jesus. So he went back to Christ. With this Samaritan, let us journey back to Christ. Let us begin and end our thanksgiving at the feet of Christ, for who else is like our God? Other religions have a God that creates the world. Other religions have a god, or many gods, that provide all that people need on this earth. But only our God becomes part of this creation to redeem his fallen creatures. Who else does that? Who else is his equal? He alone is the savior of sinners. He comes down and is wrapped in strips of linen and laid in a tomb. The true God died. The true God is buried. The true God rose again on the third day, and this is why the Samaritan returned back to fall at Jesus' feet in thanks. He believed the message of the gospel. The 9 did not. So to Christ we go. To the divine service we go, for here we find Christ in word and sacrament. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good to us. And we give him our thanks, and he turns right around and gives us a most wonderful Thanksgiving meal. It never bloats, it never stuffs. We're filled, and yet there's always room for more. More grace, more forgiveness, more love, more peace. He gives without measure, and we receive it with grateful hearts. O taste and see that the Lord is good. He is always good. He created you to be the recipient of his love. He redeemed you so that you could once more receive the fullness of his goodness. All that he gives you is for your good. He is good because he has baptized you. He is good because he has won salvation for you. He is good because he forgives you and feeds you. You can't doubt his goodness any more than you can doubt his love. He must be good to you. He must only be good to you, because his cross ensured that every shred of division, every source of punishment has ended. But it's easy to forget that and to get caught up in earthly things. Gifts of God, to be sure, but still earthly temporary things. God warned Israel that when they had settled in the promised land, when he had given them rest from their enemies, when he had filled their storehouses and stuffed their bellies, he warned them not to forget the Lord their God, who brought them out of that land of Egypt, the land of slavery. But Satan took the gifts of God and turned them into temptations. So Israel loved the kingdom more than they loved the kingdom of God. And we are tempted to love the earthly, the material gifts of God more than the eternal gifts of God. So God teaches us through humility. He takes away our stuff to teach us not to live by these things, but to live by the Word of God. Perhaps this past year your life was flipped upside down. Perhaps everything went wrong. Perhaps your loved ones are no longer with us. Perhaps the year has been anything but good, and your struggles align you closer to Job than they do to Solomon, but you still cannot say, "I have nothing to thank God for." For Scripture is clear, His mercies are new every morning. So which is right, you or the Word of God? So you must give thanks to the Lord even when He humbles you, for He brings you down so that you live by His Word and not by what you experience. He wants you to recognize that the goodness of God is found in the cross of Christ. Then you will confess, "Yes, indeed, the Lord is good. Even when nothing goes right, the Lord is good to me, and He loves me forever." He takes away because He loves. He takes things away because He is good to us. He won't let us become focused on the world. He wants us to enjoy life, so He blesses us with much, but He won't let us lose sight of the eternal life to come. He first and foremost is our Savior, and we are His people, who receive far greater gifts than clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children. So why labor for what spoils? Why live for what will be here today and gone tomorrow? The Lord will provide what you need. He knows. And if He freely has given you the gifts of salvation, then He certainly will take care of these lesser things as He knows best. So seek the greater gifts of God, and He will provide for you out of His fatherly divine goodness. Run with the leper back to the feet of Christ, and there at the feet of Christ, listening to His word, our minds are refocused. Here, beholding bread and wine, our minds are set back on track. Christ is the one thing needful. Through the lens of His cross, everything now makes sense. The ups and the downs, the natural disasters and the beauty of creation, the wars and the peace, the cruel acts of violence and the bravery of those who stop it. It all makes sense. It is a battle between God and Satan. And God always wins. His cross has ensured that the war is over, and these little skirmishes will someday come to an end. The earth is nothing more than the devil's playpen for a brief time. He rules it for a time, but even so, the Lord remains good. At times, He provides physical relief for us. At times, He provides us with tremendous earthly blessings. But He always provides His pierced feet as a place of peace and rest. So like the Samaritan, we run back and fall down, giving thanks to our Lord and God for all that He has done. Evil and hardship will have an end, for His love endures forever. Satan has been stopped by the cross and will someday be bound in hell forever, because God's love endures forever. Pain and sorrow, disease and frailty, and yes, even death will have an end, because God's love endures forever. So let us give thanks today and tomorrow and every day of our lives, for it is good and right so to do. This is who we are. We are the people of God who naturally give thanks for the great blessings He's given. Right now we see but a dim glimmer of those blessings, but soon we shall see Him fully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.